Good morning. My name is Samuel, and I'll be your assistant during the conference that is going to be held today. I would like to welcome you all to the financial results for the first quarter 2018. All lines have been placed in mute in order to avoid any background noise. After the comments of the presenters, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to make any question in that moment, you just need to dial asterisk or star and number one in your telephone dial pad. Thanks. I'm glad to give the floor to Ricardo Sierra, CEO of Celsia S.A. Mr. Sierra, go ahead, please.
Thank you so much, Samuel. To all those who are with us today, good morning. Here we are, Esteban Piedrahita, Jesús Cadavid, and all the investor relationship team to talk with you today. We're going to talk on the progress of our business, the financial results, and the execution of the strategy for this year. This year has started in a very positive way that is going to have an energy that is more connected with our customers, that is going to move us in order to generate more cleaner and reliable enough energy for our customers so they enjoy their life in a better way. As you know, we announced last year the consolidation of our operation in Colombia and the strengthening of the structure in our company. The first quarter of the year, we placed the shares for $1.47 billion that enable us to increase the participation in Nexa, reaching 61% of the investment of $738 billion to pay in advance a debt for $740 billion, which allows to have a net debt and EBITDA of 2.5 times, which enable us to have the right conditions to take care of projects of growth that are going to help us increasing the profitability of our company. We also started working on the construction of the PCH San Andrés that is going to add 19.9 megawatts of capacity for our metrics. It's going to generate about 200,000 households and create 150,000 employments, direct and indirect employments. This project will invest about $60 million during 26 months. It's going to be ready for operation in 2020. Celsia Solar Bolívar, we hope that is going to be a reality in the third quarter of this year. After in March, we started the construction of these solar farms that is going to be located in Santa Rosa de Lima, in the department of Bolívar. It's going to generate 1.8 megawatts and generate 15.5 gigawatts per year. It's going to require an investment of $8 million, and it's going to use about 32,000 photovoltaic modules and two blocks of investors that is going to be in a 12 hex farm. With investment of $87 million, we started the building of the six of the seven projects that were allocated in the Plan 5 Caribe. This new project build has to do with the construction of the substation north, which is 110 kilowatts, and the increasing of the capacity of the substation Nueva Barranquilla and the construction of 5 kilometers of underground network of distribution in a double circuit. We're going to increase the possibility of taking care of the growth of demand in the region and take care of more households and companies. The new businesses and the transformation of the experiences of the company continue consolidating with important results. We already have more than 4 megawatts of solar roofs installed, and we are in the process of installing another 14, which is about serving more than 5,000 customers. That is going to bring commercial energy, efficient illumination, and backup power, thermal districts, and the household of the portfolio for households. This is a very important element. We have a focus now of having energetic efficiency, and we're going to be able to have all the benefits of these processes. We're very happy to making our lives, the lives of our customers, happier and much easier. We're going to continue bringing customers of the non-regulated market in cities and regions outside Valle del Cauca, like Barranquilla, Cartagena, Pereira, Armenia, Cúcuta, Meta, and Antioquia. Also, especially in Antioquia. We are also increasing the non-regulated market of market. We're also very glad that the board of directors of EFSA has given us authorization to continue with the process in front of the financial superintendency to issue green bonds for up to 420,000 pesos, million pesos. With these green bonds, we're going to finance projects that will enable the environmental sustainability and the mitigation of the climate change. We're also going to have 180 megawatts of projects in solar farms in Colombia, and we want to let you know that these green bonds have already gotten the certification of the Climate Bonds Standard and Certification Scheme that confirms the commitment of our company to store sustainability and acknowledge the leadership of in the development of renewable energies. In this, we're going to be the first issuer in the real sector for these types of bonds. We're going to get some details of the financial elements and how they are going to work and how they are going to be allocated, as it is going to be a private allocation and not a public allocation. I want to thank more than 400 shareholders that were with us in the annual shareholders meeting and those 160 that were on the streaming. In that meeting, we could show the results on the progress of our strategy and the development of projects for Plan Cinco Caribe and the power, solar power energy and NOVA. To all of them and those who are here, thank you so much for your trust. I would like to highlight that in such meeting, our shareholders approve a dividend of 170 pesos per share, which implies a growth of 31% if compared to the last year dividend, and corresponds to a dividend yield higher dividend yield, which is 3.5, which is much higher than the call cap average, which was 2.5%. Before continuing with the financial results, I would like to give you a real general context of the industry. In Colombia, the energy demand accumulated for the general system during the first quarter was about 2.5% higher if compared to the same period last year. In Valle del Cauca, there was a drop of 2.6%, but when you exclude the Cali and Yumbo, which are markets, which are the only ones where EFSA does not operate in Valle, the growth of EFSA was 2.6%. during March. So our market is growing at the same level, at the same pace as the national market. The price of energy showed also positive behavior. The stock market price was about 146 kilowatts per hour, which is 12% higher if compared to the previous year. And the regulated prices went up 6%, making it 188 pesos per kilowatt. The hydro contribution of the scene also showed a similar behavior of the average, which was 96%, but it was much higher, much lower than the previous year, which was 125%. The added level of the reservoirs was about 40% of their useful volume. In essence, the contribution was 100% of the historic average, and the level of the reservoirs moved from 61% to 43%. In the next quarter, it's important that we are going to have the same average levels. It's important to know this because we were expecting a mild Niña, but that hasn't happened. We have had the same average contribution of the previous years. We are okay with the levels of our reservoirs, and the stock market has prices have shown the expectations of the fact that the Niña did not take place, and we have the contribution similar to historic ones. In Central America, the Fortuna Reservoir, which is the one that is in the upper part of Chiriquí, reduced the reservoir levels in the last quarters, moving from the useful levels from 98% to 91%. The marginal cost average was $71 per megawatt in Panama, which is 9% lower than the previous year. The bunker and carbon prices reported by the plants was 16% in Panama. The relevant regulatory issues at the end of March, there was decreased 0.057070 in the Ministry of Mines and Energy that has to do with the hiring of renewable generation projects. This is going to be a very important challenge for the next year to incentivize the expansion in a framework of competency, neutrality, and respecting all these sources of energy and technologies. This decree is about to be ruled. We have to do the negotiations with the CREA and the government to see how we come up with a very interesting decree that enables the country to continue developing these energies. Now, we're going to review the operational results and financial results, and you're going to find more details in the quarterly report and the evaluation kit that is always posted in our website. During the first quarter, the consolidated incomes were 847,000 million, which is 14% up from previous year. We have 666 million of the operation in Colombia that grew 18%. In Central America, the incomes were 100%, were 65 million, which represent an increase of 5%. Per business, in generation, in Colombia, we had 324,000 million, which is 22% up. Generation reached 1,434 gigawatt hour, which is an increase of 15%, highlighting an increase of 130% of the thermal generation that reached 393% of the gigawatts due to a Zona Franca Celsia requirement to take care of the Costa Caribe demand due to the issues they had during February caused by the illegal actors that blew up some transmission lines. Due to that reason, we had a higher income in the commercialization of gas and transportation, which reached 26,000 million. Additionally, the reliability charge income for the quarter went up 2%. In terms of maintenance, this first quarter was very, very active. In Alto Chicayán, Cocuana, we had several issues or several activities, and we have implemented a higher maintenance in the Zona Franca, where we are changing the generator in the CT2 in Flores 4, which is going to enable us to increase the capacity to 6.5 megawatts and an improvement in the heat rate. So that plant is going to have a very interesting level of productivity. And regarding the TID progress, transmission and distribution, the use and connection income reached 67,000, and we have to take care of the projects in Guajira and Guayucar for Plan 5 Caribe. And in the retailers commercialization business, we deliver 5% more energy and reaching 541 gigawatts percent, and the regulated market and the non-regulated market grew 1% and 10%, correspondingly. Due to the increase of the IPC, we had incomes for 231,000 billion pesos, which represents an increase of 9%. In Central America, as it was mentioned before, the incomes reached $65 million, thanks to the fact that we increased 4% the amount of the energy sold in contracts, reaching 488 gigawatts. The hydroelectric centrals increased 19% their generation, while their thermal plants did it to 40%. This is due to the comparable amounts where we had the maintenance of the BLM CAL, if it's important. In Costa Rica, the wind park generated 30% more. We had wind trends higher than that we had in the first quarter last year. I don't know if you remember that this last year was kind of mild in terms of wind in Costa Rica. Same way, continue with the maintenance, we did this maintenance of the 6 units of Dos Mares, and we hope at the end of the year to perform the maintenance of the Bahía Las Minas plant. In other operational incomes for the quarter, we registered 13 million, which is 8% more than the first quarter 2017, and this is due to new businesses that we are incorporating. We have the Nuestra Montería Thermal District, the commercialization of the household portfolio, and the sales of the portfolio of the photovoltaic systems. So as you can see, this is very interesting, and line of incomes is getting consolidated for the company. The cost of consolidated sales recorded $492,000 million, which is 13% up from the last year. The increase was 28% in the cost of sales during the first quarter, was caused basically to the higher use of gas in the Zona Franca Celsia. We have that great advantage, which is duly remunerated as generation per restrictions. In Central America, the 19% of the income was lower, thanks to the fact that we had, or due to the fact that we had lower cost of the energy purchases and lower cost of the bunker of the consumption. Regarding the administration, consolidated administration expenses, we registered $15,000 million, which is 23% less than what we had in the previous year. In Colombia, we had $46,000, which is 28% less than the previous year. I don't know if you remember that we had a provision that we didn't have this year of $14,000 million for Electricaribe last year, and in 2018, we don't have that cost. So these factors help in improving the results. In Central America, we also registered $4 million in the first term quarter, which is 8% of the previous year. We continue working this in a disciplined way to get operations that are more profitable, that added to positive conditions in the market, produce this EBITDA, which is the highest in the history for the first quarter, and that came close to $300 million, which is $289 million exactly, and growth of 20% if compared to the same period last year. In Colombia, the EBITDA was $210,000 million, and the EBITDA in Central America was $28 million. And in general terms, we had a very positive results for EBITDA this semester. Let's talk about the debt. Our debt to the end of the quarter is $3.1 billion, which is 20% less than what we had in December 2017. Thanks to the cancellation of passives of Celsia Colombia and the Operation Central America, all associated to the emission of to issue of bonds, which is very good. Our spend on interest was reduced in $7,414 million for this quarter. Due to this, the company registered a net consolidated income of $79,000 million, which is an increase of 262% if compared to the previous year, and it's also the highest quarter value since 2014. This, by reducing the mandatory interest, the result to the controller is about $51,000 million, which is a much higher or better number than that of than those $608 million of the last year. So we have a very good results for our cash flow and the level of debt. So we are getting a healthy situation after the issuing of tax. Now, talking about the cash, the company closed $214 million consolidated thanks to its operational level. The cash generation and some alternatives of financing that we are considering will enable us to continue growing. Regarding the investments, we executed $89,000 million in Colombia, $41,000 were Plan Cinco Caribe, $34,000 were the expansion of the regional transportation, also regarding the SLD, civil networks, and the San Andres Central, and the continuity and maintenance, we spent $14,000 million. In Central America, the investments performed were about $868 million. In social and environmental elements, we have something very interesting, which is that we were highlighted in the ISSP, which is an index of the social investment, voluntary social investment that made the company compared to their incomes, that demonstrate all those good actions that we do in several fronts. We occupy the ninth place in that indicator. And we have to add our results. The results are very positive. We have a very positive element. We have to keep the level, and they give us good energy to keep making progress in the process that in this phrase that continue increasing the profitability of the company, and it's very close to our customers which clearly see Celsia as an excellent service provider that listens to them, and we hope we can continue growing with them. Now, let's hope we can have a conversation space with all of you. Thank you so much. In this moment, we would like to remind you all that if you want to make a question, you need to dial asterisk or star 1 in your telephone dial pad. Asterisk 1 to make questions. If you want to withdraw your question, you just need to dial a number. The first question is coming from Catherine Ortiz, Corredores de Vivienda. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I have a question related to the consolidated figures. What I'm seeing is that you're including a new number where you're registering the value of the patrimony of 648 million. I would like to know why is this number, if this reduction of the patrimony has to do with the buying of EFSA. Thank you. Let me ask Esteban to reply this. Good morning. Yes, as you're mentioning, this is a movement that we have in the consolidated financial statement due to the purchase of 11% of EFSA. And the reason is that in the financial statement separated for Celsia, we have a regular movement of the assets due to investments, and then in the patrimony due to the increase of the patrimony due to the issuing of bonds. But as EFSA had already been merged in EFSA in 2009, and which makes part of the conversion of 2014, we are not able to revalue a society that has already been included in the business. If you remember, one part of this year is the value of EFSA in these 8 years. So as we cannot do that, the only accounting movement that we can do is to reduce the account of minority account, which is non-controlled patrimony. It's basically an accounting technical exercise due to the general regulations. But then if you see the separated information, we see the common movement that is an increase in the investments and an increase in the patrimony of the company. Thank you, Esteban. Thank you, Catherine. Next question is coming from Juan Chipagua, Porvenir. Thank you for the presentation. I just wanted to ask if you can give us any progress regarding the regulatory matters in terms of the distribution of energy. Thank you. Well, in the regulatory framework, you know that we have the Resolution 015. We're in the process of getting used to that, delivering information so that it can start operating. Additionally, we expect that happens in July. Now, regarding Resolution 030, which is a very interesting resolution regarding the measurement, there we are working on some comments. We are preparing some detailed information regarding the circuits information that we have to give the CRE. So we are also working on making comments and preparing the information. It's an enormous piece of work from the point of view of the processes in the company, and we hope that this makes progress in a positive way so that we get this resolution applied and to massify the solar energy to small businesses. Regarding transmission, we have not gotten the resolution. It's still under discussion, but it should be available this year, sometime this year. So that's what we have in regarding... No, basically that's what we have. The big thing is getting ready to present the request of charges as per the CRE, and that should be taking place in July to define the new formulation for distribution. Okay, thank you so much. So we will let you know once we have any information. Natalia and Jesus will make sure there is if there is any relevant information, we will let you all know. Okay, thank you so much. Next question is coming from Andres Macava Portual. Thank you all for your presentation. I have two questions. The first question is regarding the leveraging. You have told us already how you're going to make one part of the space that you have for the issue of 400 million, but what are you going to do with the rest of the space that you have, and what is the EBITDA that you expect for 2018? And then I would also like to know how are the wind power projects that you have mentioned before? Well, the leveraging part can be answered by Esteban, so if he can tell us a little bit about the green bonds and what are the ideas that we have to optimize and continue making progress of these cost windows that we have there. Regarding the wind projects, we have very interesting projects in Colombia, in Guajira, that are going to be co-developed, which is called Renovatio, with a company called Renovatio, a project of 250 megawatts and another project of 80 megawatts. Those projects are highly advanced in terms of availability, but we are still under the development phase. What are we expecting, or what do we wait? That the 80 megas can be performed first and the 250 megawatts for it. So hopefully by the year 2021, the 80 megawatts and the 250 megawatts for it should be available, depending on the chronograms of the building phase in 2023. So these are projects that are high availability, so they don't have a financial closure. We are just in the phase of designing them. So we cannot announce a cost of profitability, but you know how careful we are and what kind of work we do on this. We have an expansion project in Costa Rica to double the park that we have there, but due to the fact of the situation of Costa Rica in terms of demand and availability, any project has to be contracted by the company, by the state. So we have to wait for a new bid in about a year. But we are ready, we want to be ready for that, to have some 50 megas and to be able to take it to a bid, if that is the case. So those are the fronts that we have in the wind power system. Andres, Esteban, if you want to talk about the leveraging. Well, regarding the leveraging, Andres, the space that we have opened with the restructuring phase, the idea is that with the issue is that the operatives take it in Central America and the operative of Colombia, which is EFSA. So we have pre-announced a first use of this, which is the green bond that we are discussing with the financial superintendency to be authorized to proceed with the issuing. It's up to 421,000 million pesos, which is what we are regarding as our authorization to do the issue. In a schema that Ricardo was mentioned, we'll of course give more detail, but basically we want to do a private placement then public placement to the market. So again, we're in that process with the superintendency, and we hope we can give you more details in the next 2 or 3 weeks, which is when we hope we get the final goal. What else are we waiting? After we close the 2.5% in the first quarter, in terms of debt, of net debt, we hope we can keep that same amount by the end of the year. Even though the new maintenance the new money is to do new projects, we have also hope to get a new EBITDA. And we're going to keep the same ratio in a more reliable or sustainable condition. So we hope not to go away from the 2.5% that we generated in the first quarter. But nevertheless, we generated the availability. You say what for? Well, to continue working on growth, and it's also important to have flexibility for new important projects that may arise regarding acquisitions or facing new, bigger projects. So that space that we want to have there is to have it ready for new availabilities. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Andres. Next question for Diego Buitrago from Bancolombia. Good morning. Thanks for the presentation. We would like to know the status of the other wind power projects in Cesar and the others that have been mentioned or that were mentioned last year. And then if we could learn about Porvenir 2, where is it standing, how the equipment, the purchase of equipment is going, and also in the power market, we would like to know how are you seeing the market regarding contracts, and then if EPM regarding Ituango has been very aggressive. So what can you tell us about that? It would be wonderful if we can get additional insight on that. Okay, Diego. It's a question with many topics, but okay, regarding wind powers, farms, solar powers, we have Hidrotango Solima. It's 9.1 megawatts, and it's going to start delivering energy soon. The projects that you mentioned, we have a project in Cesar, which is going to generate between 60 and 100 megas. It's highly advanced in terms of the authorizations, and we hope to be ready to build in the fourth quarter of this year. Now, regarding Santander's project, we are also working very hard on that. We have made good progress regarding the transmission lines in that project, which there are some more complex than other projects, but we are also standing very well. We should be ready to build also by the end of the year. So Santander is also a project that can be between 80 and 100 megas. So out of those 180 megas that we have in progress, and we have some other smaller farms that are being developed, but they are a little bit further in the time. Those are between 10 and 20 megawatt farms in some other countries, areas in the country, one in Magdalena and others in the central part of the country. So we are working on that. But they need a little bit of insight so that we can become reality. It's interesting because even though we announced the bid of non-conventional renewables, it's clear that in the market, several players, new players, and old players like us, we are all doing solar projects, very interesting. So what we're going to see in the market is a strong competition and a very interesting development due to the from different players. And this is going to continue growing. Porvenir 2, we continue working on that. This is not an easy topic. There are some topics relating that are still under discussion. We continue working in the project. From the point of view of the social and environmental topic, we continue consolidating staying together with the company, with the places where we are, and the financial figures are not still happening. So that's something that is on the design table, depending on the final feasibility. But it's not been easy, so we will let you know, and we will continue working on that. Now, regarding contracts and prices, it's clear that there has been a pressure to a reduction due to the expectation of the energy from Hidrotango. We have also helped. We also hope that the EPM can solve the problem they had last week. We hope they do well in that for the benefit of the entire system. And additionally, we are also seeing some prices in contract prices that are dropping. some 20 or 30 pesos since last year. We have seen that the contracts have become longer. From now, they are not from 3 to 5 years, but now we have contracts of 10 years. So it's a very interesting project for energy buyers in the long term. We're closing at a very good price. One of the topics that we said that the Colombia did not have long-term contracts, now we do have that at a very competitive prices if compared to other prices of power in Latin America. So it's a very good piece of news for our customers that can achieve competitive energies, which is what we want to deliver. So do you have any additional information regarding the farms? No, regarding the farms, you mentioned it very well. We are doing very well. We are doing good progress in that. We have this year, we hope to close also Bolivar construction, but we also hope to, I would say, two more farms in terms of the building phase so that we can finish materializing those 200 megawatts dream that we have. This also depends on some other activities like the ones in Santander. We are also working on the transmission and hope that's going to be done by the end of this year. Okay, and now talking about the commercial strategy for those plants, will it be similar to Celsa Solar Jumbo with any contract with any private party, or will it be for the interconnected system? Well, we are trying to maximize the possibility with each of those plants. And then if we have the availability to have associated contracts that are interesting for the customers and for us, we will obviously look for that. Obviously, that's not very close to industrial centers, so perhaps some of them are going to be addressed directly to the general system. All right, thank you so much. Now we're taking questions from the participants in the questions in English. We're going to make a small pause to connect the two systems.
Y su siguiente pregunta viene de la línea de Ángela González, de Credicorp Capital.
Ángela.
Ms. González, your line is open.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. Congratulations for your EBITDA growth of 20% on an annual basis. I would like to know a little bit more detail regarding the 23% decrease on administrative expenses, which I assume is one of the main reasons why the EBITDA growth so much. I would like to know how much of this decrease is due to the provision from Electric Caribbean as well. Thank you.
Hi, Angela. Let me pass the question to Esteban, and let me add that basically, we have had a very strong control of our administrative expenses, and that's a key thing within our company. The only administrative expenses that we are increasing is basically related to our new projects or to new developments that we are trying to deploy in the next few years. So that basically the growth in expenses that we are achieving related to new initiatives. But let Esteban clarify the main figures about the interest reduction that we have in administrative expenses.
Okay, so Angela, what we have in SG&A is, and as you mentioned, is a decrease of 23%. It's mainly driven by two things. One is the provision of Electric Caribe, which we had during the first quarter of 2017, that was roughly 20,000 million, like $7 million, to say it in dollars. So what you have is debt, and the other thing you have is we had the Impuesto a la Riqueza back in the first quarter of 2017, which we don't have right now in 2018. So those are the two main main accounts that actually are reducing from the 2017 figures. But as Ricardo is mentioning, when you take a look at the rest of the accounts of SG&A, what you see is either flat numbers or slightly decreasing numbers, both in real terms as well as in current figures. It's what you're seeing in all the accounts. So we're pretty much very focused in terms of controlling SG&A on top of and being able to capture all these reductions that we were expecting to have from the 2017 numbers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Angela.
Y en este momento regresamos a...
So now we're going back to the translation process. We do not have more questions, so we give the floor to the presenters for the final comments. Thank you so much, Samuel, and to all the participants, thank you so much for being with us. We hope we will see how we do there in this second quarter. We hope to keep this good rhythm and to present the 2018 for the shareholders. Thank you so much for being with us today. This is the end of the conference for today. Thank you so much for your participation.